is House Bill 53. This was just a cleanup situation or a request we had. And I think it related to page 2, line 5, 4, rather, under C. Retirement benefit payable under this chapter for Alaska BIA service. And then we put in there, claimed under AS 1425.107 shall be reduced by an amount equal to the retirement benefits, etc. We asked Mr. Ledge Council, and it says, we've asked our office to provide appropriate committee substitute for House Bill 53 that would modify page 2, line 5 by inserting under 1425.107 after the word service. In the opinion of this office, that change would be unnecessary and also misleading. Carol? Please stand at ease, please. Carol here. I believe I heard Mr. Humphrey say at one time that this bill was not necessary whatsoever. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, sir.
That it's a useless bill to the extent that we've already got it. Is that what your statement was?
Yes.
Well, it seems to me like we're going to be studying quite a bit of the retirement system over the interim period and so on. Might be well if we just hold this bill until we can fit it in and see where it goes and so on. I don't see any problem with that view. And we do have that whatever we did do, I would agree with Mr. Lear. I believe the members of the committee do also, and I'm sure Mr. Humphrey agrees also. So I think we'll just hold this bill over. Is there any objection to holding the bill? Further reference? Hearing none, so ordered. The next bill I want to take up is House Bill 362, committee substitute for 362, which has been drawn up now. And we've had the amendment put in there, which, if you recall, we adopted the language of Senate Bill 257, Judiciary, with the exception of one area. Will somebody refresh my memory on that again, please? Was that under contracts or?
It was under, the area, I believe, was under the body of the makeup of the commission.
For the makeup of the commission, that's right. I think you'll find that
probably
on page
12 or 11.
Okay, that's coming under page 7, Legislative Ethics Commission. Goes on through page 8. We adopted the language in the House bill, in lieu of, and deleted that of the Senate bill. And I see we already have that put in there. Does anyone have any other questions pertaining to this point in time, or any statements at this point in time?
Nope.
Mr. LaRocca, did you have a question? I see. Okay. Thought I'd ask. Are there any...
He has the answer, but he doesn't have the question.
Is there anyone here to talk about this particular bill? Well, in view of those circumstances, we've already adopted the committee substitute for House Bill 362, State Affairs. We made the change in the makeup of the board. I would entertain a motion to move out of committee. Mr. Carter?
Is this the, just for discussion, we have a little at ease and I could review this?
Just go right ahead. The same one we had in the house.
That's the only change?
No, we changed the whole bunch. It's the whole makeup of the connection. Because both of them were absolutely opposite of each other.
Yes, I see. Let me have a chance to review this. One second.
We're not at ease, we should be. Stand at ease. Is there a motion to move the bill out of committee? I move that we move the bill out of committee. Are there objections?
Mr. Chairman, I will object, and I would like to see in the basement where the chair has the ability of making a motion.
Chair does have the ground.
It is amazing.
Yes, it's the all-powerful chair, the all-powerful.
My objection needs to be on the record, Mr. Chairman.
All
right. Practice.
Are there any further objections? Hearing none, moved out of committee. Individual recommendations. Okay, the next bill, pass that back and forth so we do sign it. The next bill I want to hear will be sponsor substitute for House Bill 394. Wait a minute, is that the one we want here?
I don't know if we want it or not.
That's the one we're going to hear anyway.
394.
Yep, 394. An act relating to benefits under public employees. This is, we've heard this before, have we not? No, we haven't. All right, the prime sponsor is not here. I do, however, see his aide here. Would you like to tell us about this? 394.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Neil Phelps Munson, Congressional Agent Speaker Joe Haynes. The bill was introduced by the Speaker after consultation with President Katula of the Senate, who had introduced the bill a few days earlier over there. The original draft of the bill came from the administration. I'm not the expert on the bill. He is present here. Mr. Humphreys was with the division. Just as a thumbnail, however, when Fish and Game Protection officers were put into the arena of public safety, they were also included in the what's called the 20 and out retirement program,
which public safety and fire employees have because of their hazardous duty. It was then imposed by the Department of Labor by regulation that an employee of Fish and Game who had 5% time at hazardous duty was qualified for the program, which was never the intent of the legislation. The bill would discontinue.
Pardon me. You say that last again. What was not part of the legislation?
That any of the original legislation, that any Fish and Game employee who spent as much as 5% of his time, which included things like flying to a bush site, that was qualified as hazardous duty, or performing as a stream guard was considered hazardous duty. So that there are now a large number of Fish and Game employees covered by the firemen and public safety officers, 20 and out, high preference retirement program. What the bill would do would be to discontinue the entry of any new people into that program from Fish and Game, and of course grandfather in all those who are there. The first provision of the bill, the election to terminate coverage as a peace officer or fireman, was in the original draft. If anybody chose, for reasons of his own, to opt out of the system into any of the others, it would save the state a little money. It might also be that some people feel that they can manage retirement funds better by themselves than the state fund manages for them. That would be the only reason for an individual wanting to that I can think of. However, it isn't essential to the basic mission of the bill. There is a fiscal note which is in your folders which indicates a rather substantial saving of money. There is no individual who will be offended in terms of his retirement status or income by the legislation because, as I say, everyone presently covered, whether or not he was originally considered to be qualified by the original legislation, will continue to be covered by the program. And as far as specific details, again, are concerned, as I say, you need the gentleman from the division. Incidentally, if you happen to have seen the original 394, instead of the sponsor substitute, the original should be pitched out. There was an egregious drafting error in it, which happily was spotted before the phones came clear off the wall. If it's just HB 394, then yes, pitch it. It's SS HB 394 that you want.
Questions for the committee?
Mr. Chairman, if the problem is that 5% is too low percentage time to base your what constitutes a qualified employee, rather than use a brand new expression, throw out the baby with the wash, why don't we just raise that 5% up to 25% or some other realistic figure?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I won't presume to give you a technical answer to the question. My guess would be is that that is something which should be managed by administrative regulation rather than by statute. However, that sort of question, frankly, I prefer to leave to Mr. Humphreys.
If we pass this bill, it's not going to be managed by regulation because we're just wiping out the whole program for fishing game employees. And more fishing game employees are killed by a factor of 5 or 10 than all the rest of the employees in the state government combined.
I think, if I'm not wrong, that the originally qualified persons in Fish and Game are considered to be peace officers.
Yeah, but they won't be after
yes, they are included here. They are included in line 4.
Maybe I misunderstood. But doesn't this bill kill that provision for any new hires? I'm not talking about people grandfathered.
Those who are not qualified as peace officers, yes. But I think this is here again, the technical part of the amendment. My understanding of the bill, pardon me. My understanding is that the people who have more or less continuous hazardous duty in Fishing Game are called peace officers. I can be wrong on that. And there again, I've referred to.
I think you're wrong on that, but we'll ask Mr. Carter.
Right.
Yes, thank you. It's my understanding that since this status is came into existence, that possibly that people who actually wasn't in a high risk could jump in a plane or something and qualify. Is my interpretation that possibility exists? Or
as far as the mechanics of the system are concerned, that should be possible because flying into remote sites is considered hazardous duty.
Mm-hmm. But would that, in your opinion, could that be done? As a system, not by choice, by somebody just wanted to fly out just to qualify. Is that possible to in the existing program for that to come under the high risk?
If I worked for Fish and Game, I'd try it.
Yeah. Any further questions? Thank you much for your
thank you, sir.
Testimony, Mr. Humphreys, please. I have a little trouble. Before you start, I have a little trouble attaching a hazardous duty to an occupation that one chooses. I mean, it's almost like saying, well, I like that particular occupation now, and I'm going to get paid more money for it. of course, I may kill myself. It's almost a sign of a suicide package or something. That I don't see any problem in going out here and remote. Lord, there's over 10,000 pilots in this country that go out to remote sites constantly. They're not getting paid extra money for doing it. As a matter of fact, they're paying more money for their insurance policies just to be able to get covered for it. A fireman, he's adequately covered throughout the hospitalization, death benefits, and so on and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, I think what you're arguing against... I think what you're arguing against is the basic peace officer's plan, but that's, of course, not what this bill does. No. It leaves the plan still in state, in place. It just takes out fish and game employees.
Takes out the fish and game employees. I see. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Humphreys, for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Ken Humphreys. I'm director of the Division of Retirement and Benefits. I'll try to be brief, but I want to cover some of the points that have been raised. First, the department strongly supports this piece of legislation. We very strongly favor removing peace officer coverage from fish and game employees. Let me try to be as clear as possible about our reasoning for this. Our reasoning is not based on whether or not duty in the Department of Fish and Game is as hazardous or not as hazardous as other duty that may exist in other departments throughout the state. Position is based on the precept that hazardousness of duty is not an appropriate criterion for inclusion in the peace officer's retirement system. The fact that a higher percentage of fish and game employees than in some other departments that they may be killed in the line of duty, I think is irrelevant to whether or not they're included in the peace officer's retirement system. The occupational death benefits are the same for peace officers as all others. The same insurance benefits are available. Supplemental AD&D, life insurance benefits, optional life benefits. I think it would be safe to say that it is possible for any employee covered in the PERS for the state of Alaska to provide his family with more than adequate protection in the event of his death. So, we do not accept hazardousness of duty as an appropriate criterion for inclusion in this retirement system. One reason for this view is that even if the reg were amended, and presumably this is what would be done if the legislature does not accept our recommendation and act on this, it could serve to ameliorate the problem a little bit in the sense that the number of fish and game employees that are covered under the reg could be reduced if, as Representative Miller suggested, the percentage factor were increased from 5 to 25. But I would suggest to you that no matter where the percentage is put, it must be argued in terms of hazardousness of duty as the original legislation calls for. And further, that there are employees in other departments who would probably qualify under the same standard. And what I think you see here is a problem that is just beginning. If you do not close off peace officer retirement based on hazard of duty in the Department of Fish and Game, I think you're going to find increasingly many employees in other departments making it a very good case for the fact that their duty is just as hazardous and that they satisfy whatever percentage the reg may call out. What we're suggesting is that the door be closed on this, that we continue to look at 20 and out retirement in all contexts, not just this one, but that this is an important first step. This to us appears like a very clear, equitable cost containment measure in the system where no real steps toward cost containment have been taken, certainly in the last 10 years. There are some cost savings associated with the bill. We strongly support it, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions you may have.
If hazard of duty is not a good criteria, it should be considered under the peace officer's retirement. What should be the criteria?
Speaking myself personally, because we don't have a departmental position on whether or not there should be any peace officers retirement, I'm not certain that there is an adequate justification. I can tell you that a peace officer retirement system for bona fide peace officers and firemen is a common feature of state retirement systems. I can also tell you
that it was a feature of this retirement system from the very beginning. It was built in, it's not an add-on. So there's some argument for it in that sense, that it has always been there, it is fundamental to this system for peace officers and firemen. There is an argument that has been advanced to the effect that when you're dealing with someone whose main business is public protection, who interfaces with the public in the way that a state trooper or a fireman does, that the public has a right to an appearance of physical prowess that cannot be as easily maintained if you have an aging workforce, and that to ensure that you get adequate turnover, you need to induce them out with the 20-year retirement. This is an argument that has been advanced. I'm not sure how valid it may be. As I pointed out when the bill regarding park rangers and probation officers was up, I believe that there are a lot of employees, not only working for the state, but other employers in the system, but who for various reasons, whether it be job stress, and I'm not talking about just flying in small airplanes, there are a lot of kinds of job stress, I believe, pressure of all kinds that might make it virtually impossible for a person to do that sort of job continuously for, say, more than 20 years. I think those employees are going to be obliged to look for a less stressful occupation. What I would suggest to you regarding the qualified employees of the Department of Fish and Game, as the chairman suggested to some degree, is that they do it for as long as they feel like doing it, that they provide their family with adequate insurance, which is available, and that they discontinue that at the point in time when it begins to trouble them, just as other employees would be expected to do, not expect to retire in some cases as early as 38, 39, 40 years old with a lifetime benefit. And I cannot overemphasize that. We're talking about someone who may go to work at the age of 18 or 19 years old, give the state 20 years of service, and then retire at that age with lifetime medical benefits and an insurance benefit that he might easily draw for 40 years for not doing another single thing for the state of Alaska. And I do not think that is right. So that's our position, and I would strongly urge you to pass this bill. I think it's not the be-all and end-all of retirement system reform, but I think it is an appropriate first step, and I would encourage you to pass it.
Mr. Cutter?
We got more time for people.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there any further questions, please? Thank you, Mr. Humphries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You are going to stick around a minute, I presume. Sherry Shelley, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Sherry Shelley, Executive Director of APEA, and I would like to give you just a little bit of a historical perspective of how we got to the current situation with the massive influx of fish and game employees. In the early 70s, the legislature deemed it appropriate to put fish and game employees into the 20-year retirement system. That system is based on hazardous duty for police officers and firemen. More fish and game people are dying in the line of duty than police officers and firemen together. This is due to flying low over streams to count fish, stream guarding, being attacked by bears. I personally have been out in Kodiak when they had to fly in very bad weather in order to go out and have a fish opening, and the fishermen were all up in arms. And I suppose that the argument can be made that you need young, alert, able-bodied people in those planes and out in remote locations to handle themselves every bit as much as you need them for fire and police officers. In particular, how we got to having this 5% goes something like this. For almost 10 years, the Division of Retirement and Benefits, and it was not under this current director or this current governor, failed to adopt regulations as to who was appropriately in the Peace Officers Retirement System for fish and game. Consequently, APEA filed a lawsuit to include some additional people in. Now, the lawsuit that we filed did not include 1,500 people. I think that the number was somewhere around 100. As a result of that, the division promulgated regulations. And the original regulation promulgated said 40% of your time had to be in hazardous duty. With that percentage, no one was going to qualify. APA again objected and said 40% is way too high. Somewhat astute on our part, we did not offer a a recommendation as to what the percentage would be. We said, your decision. And the Division of Retirement and Benefits and the Department of Administration reduced the percentage from 40% to 5%. There is probably a very strong argument that it should be somewhat higher than 5%. However, it is not up to the union to make that known to the administration. They can change these regulations at any time to increase that percentage. And the error was on their part. The error wasn't on Fish and Game employees. It wasn't on APEA. They can raise it and then change the requirements as to who should get in. So it isn't the statute or the system itself that necessarily is the problem. As Mr. Humphreys gave some inclination, this is probably an attack on the 20-year retirement systems in general, an erosion of the system. It's clearly hazardous duty. If Fish and Game people don't qualify, I don't know how you can say policemen and firemen qualify. For that matter, I had a meeting. I'm surprised that this is not an administration bill. I met with the administration on this particular legislation and said that we could not support it and wanted to know if they were concerned about 20-year retirement systems. There were other people in the 20-year retirement system, and quite frankly, it's not politically expedient to talk about, for example, the judge's retirement system, which is a 20-year system, or the teacher's retirement system, or peace officers' retirement, you know, policemen and fire, because that's a much stronger, influential group politically. But if they are successful in taking out the Fish and Game people, then clearly we're going to be looking at corrections. Originally, corrections was included in this bill. And then if you're looking at corrections, you're going to looking at police and fire, and then you're going to be looking at teachers. So that's a little bit of the perspective of how we got where we are, and obviously APA doesn't support it.
Any questions? Sherry, thank you very much for your questions. Is there anyone else to testify on the bill? There is a negative fiscal note. The present value of the projected savings over the next 17 years is $25 million. That could get my attention. Mr. Cotter?
Yes, are you ready for a motion?
I'm prepared.
Before we have a motion, Mr. Chairman, I didn't realize we were going to move that quite that fast.
Mr.
Speaker, I want to make an observation. You said you were reading the back of the fiscal note. It says the present value of the projected savings to the state over the next 17 years is $25 million. I don't know why we didn't say the present value of the projected savings over the next, 68 years is $100 million. Because obviously, or over the next 120 years is $200 million. The thing is that to save money though, we don't have to pass this bill. We can save a big share of this $232,000, which is all we're talking about for next year. We can save a big share of that simply by raising that percentage point from 5% up to, whatever. If nobody qualifies at 40% and too many people qualify at 5%, then maybe at 20%, and I'm just guessing because I'm no actuary either. Maybe at 20%, we can get a more equitable program and still save $100,000 a year, which is worth saving. We're not going to be able to build our sit in a dam with it, but it's still worth saving. I'd like for us to get some indications before we deal with this, so we know what we're dealing with and know what the alternative is. I think there's a very real alternative in the form of raising that percentage thing. But so I would like to ask. For the committee to ask the Division of Retirements and Benefits if they would come back with their best estimate as to what the right percentage should be, and then having arrived at that right percentage, indicate what the savings would be. Maybe that's not a reasonable request. I don't know. I've got a lot of respect for Mr. Humphrey, so I'll just ask if that sounds doable.
May I respond to that, Mr. Chairman?
Just one. Mr. Cowdery, please.
I would just like that to ask this grandfather, sort of grandfather, falls under Section 4, I believe, that allows employees to come under the status to continue. That is exact. That's the way, and I interpret that. Am I right in my interpretation?
Jeffries?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Constitution.
Yeah.
May I respond to Representative Miller's question? The answer, and I would like to repeat one thing that I said earlier, the answer is that we don't think a percentage is appropriate, period. That there's not an adequate way to approach it, and our concern is this, to repeat, that if we say an employee of the Department of Fish and Game who spends X, whatever X may be, percent of his time in these kinds of duties, what, pray tell, is the argument for not allowing peace officer coverage to any employee in any department anywhere who spends X percentage of his time in hazardous duty? And I think you can see that even if we could somewhat reduce the number of future Fish and Game employees by tinkering with that percentage, which I will freely admit that we could do, you know, as they begin to come on board, our even greater concern is what is going to happen in other departments if we continue to endorse the notion of hazardous duty as a criterion for inclusion. And I would point out that that is not the criterion for inclusion of other people in other 20-year systems. So for example, the original police and fire. There isn't a criterion. They are simply included. It does not call upon the Department of Administration or anyone else to set standards of hazardousness. But I certainly, again, feel that some attempt will be made to arrive at some sort of a percentage in the absence of legislative action. But we would strongly encourage you to pass this bill because no matter what percent we set, you're going to see other arguments being made to include, health and social services employees. I would think employees within the Department of Administration itself and what have you.
Well, I'm not aware, of course, I realize like health services, nurses fly out to villages and stuff like that, but I'm really not aware of very hazardous duty outside of departments that are already covered. There's occasionally some, and maybe we very well could and should include that.
I suspect that some of our field representatives would qualify.
If we're talking about hazardous duty for employees like this, a bus driver, I think, has got more hazardous duty than a fish and wildlife agent out on the stream trying to catch somebody with a bigger hook, just driving the traffic. I don't think
the mortality rate would back up on that, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I bet it would, sir. I bet it would. I'd like to see some of these someday, see some of these the tragic accidents, a piece of, other than flying. God, I wish I'd get paid for the number of times I've flown an airplane. I got three of them where I left them, but I didn't get paid hazardous duty for it, or no retirement for it. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but that's neither here nor there. My personal opinion doesn't matter here.
I was going to ask you to take me flying someday, but you just talked me out of it.
What?
I was going to ask you to take me flying someday, but now you just talked me out of it.
There comes a time in one's life when he decides that flying is a little too hazardous for him. In fact, the plane's going faster than you are, so you better get out of it. Anyway, it really doesn't address, this particular bill doesn't really address a 5% hazardous duty at 40%. It does not contain, that's another subject, I would think. I think we're concerned with the bill and under the present circumstances, the way I'm looking at it. Mr. Cowdery?
Yes, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to move this bill to the next committee of referral with the individual as pronounced and then with the recommendation.
I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
There is an objection.
And just make it abundant clear on the record that I asked for some information that apparently the committee doesn't want to delay the bill to get us, and that is, and so therefore I'll just sort of ask Mr. Humphrey if he would prepare the information so at least finance could consider it, and that is what the savings would be if we raised the percentage up to 5%, up to 10, or maybe even 20, whatever percentage that you would naturally gravitate to if the bill didn't pass. I know that's not the route you want to go, but if you could still prepare it, I think it would be useful information to the...
We can certainly make an attempt at that. Essentially, what I think we'd be in the position of doing is asking the Department of Fish and Game what the answer to that question is, so far as... we don't really have any information.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well,
I do want to make it clear on the record that I'm not refusing to get the information. I'm just saying that pertaining to the language in this bill and this of the 394, it does not relate to any percentage of hazardous duty, in my opinion, or the bill.
the bill does, Mr. Chairman, because right now, the figure is if a person has 5% average of duty, they qualify.
When does it say that in the bill?
Because it, right now... You say the language that's being included on line 5, page 2, is zapping the qualified employees in the Department of Fish and Game. And administratively, the administration has defined qualified employee as somebody that is in hazardous duty 5% of the time. If we pass this bill, we've just wiped out that 5%. We've wiped out 100% of all the new hires for the Fish and Game from participating in the program. So as an alternative to throwing out the entire baby with all that wash, as an alternative to that, I'm saying that we could save maybe half the money that is projected to be saved on here by simply raising the percentage point on which person is considered qualified under the program.
Mr. Carter?
No, I haven't. He raised the objection.
Yeah. With that observation, Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection. I want it on the record.
Thank you.
Call for the question.
Question been called for to move the bill out of committee. Hearing no further objections to order. Individual recommendations, of course. The next one I wish to take up is 369. Here it is. Is an act related to credit services done to the public employees private system. Is there someone here to speak to the bill? Is there no one here to speak to the bill? There's no one here to speak for the bill or against the bill one way or another. Do you have any comments, Mr. Humphreys, on it?
Yes, sir.
Would you please come up?
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ken Humphreys again. Just very briefly, this was up before in this committee, as I recall. And
Elaine, was this bill up before the committee before? I don't think it has been, has it?
Carol and I have it down. We gave a 5-day notice on it, so
no. So no, it hasn't been up before the committee before.
We did have a BIA.
We had another one that was a BIA, but it wasn't this particular one.
Excuse me.
In fact, it was another bill.
It's 53.
53 it was. It was another one at 53.
No, I think he's right, though.
I could swear that if Representative Adams sat here and gave you testimony, and then I followed him.
Yeah.
But
get Carol, please. Stand at ease.
Something needs to be done to help them.
Sorry, this is not the Attorney General's office. You're trying to call the Attorney General?
The only analogy that I could come up with is for each member on this floor who is a smoker.
4963, wrong one. Let me see if I can transfer you. I don't know the number.
I've heard some of people who do smoke. It's real difficult not to do that, even when it is illegal. The same analogy can be brought to this bill. Certainly we're trying to punish people who commit crimes in this case, or in this case, who break the law by either killing somebody or by hurting them. Drinking and driving. Mr. Speaker, if the chairman of the recent, the chairman of the State Affairs Committee would think that there is a reason to now against smoking in the public place, disturbing other people, just for a minute. You see, it's a federal requirement on this 90 days to see the kind of business. You talk about funds, what I call a treatment, but we spend a lot of money for the federal government if we knock out this treatment. The requirement is the state that will run by the laws in order to qualify for getting any money regarding.
Thank you.
two, Cross Bill 6. Members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, clerk will not vote. Do any members wish to change their vote?
Invitation.
Oh, you saw her?
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Well, Edie, are you gonna come?
You betcha. You betcha, my darling. But how much fun? I bet we're gonna be in session all night.
What do you think?
I think, you know what's going on right now on the floor?
The hospital system.
Bill.
Oh.
Bill. It's 11:45. We have 3 other bills to take care of, but they have 2 items under special order.
It's
going to
be next
tonight.
Week, though.
No, tonight. I know, but I'm just saying,
no.
This pattern is picking up. I think it's going to be right there.
Oh, staff
can
all go. Staff
can
still go.
Right, we can't.
No.
Oh,
you
know? Everyone, she likes me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Please come back to order.
Before I turn it over, I would like to do that. objection to the citation honoring James P. Nolan?
Mike Miller voted against all the Clarkson amendments.
No, just this last one. Take down 7 years.
He voted against that.
Mike Miller is against the He is so for this trailer. No kind of retardment. This is something personal. He hasn't stood up once and debated at all.
I don't really know. Are we done with what he means by all that?
I don't either, because I don't know what he's saying. But he's trying to get his feedback. I don't know. I'm
4.
I'm 5.
You're on 4 now? That's when it's about up.
No.
Nobody could argue right. It has nothing to do with these not two classes of electors.
wish I was going to say that there's going to be a hearing on that. I know that happened.
Are you ready for the question?
No.
Supportive. I propose that to do it too. This bill can't affect until next year's election, so there's no,
Are you
ready for a question? Question is, shall the 5-day referral be waived by the judiciary committee? 5-day notice. Thank you.
What did you get?
Oh, okay.
Hey, baby, is that a real flower?
No.
No problem.